Hey friends, and welcome back to Health Simple Radio. This is episode number 66. I'm Kyle Reedhead, the host, and I'm joined today with Chris Irvin, who is a nutrition researcher, writer, and works for Perfect Keto. If you've never heard of Perfect Keto, well, you should, because they provide some of the best keto supplements there are on the market, okay? If you follow me on social media, you'll see I'm not a big fan of supplements. I'm all about a really whole foods, clean diet more than anything. However, there's a time and a place for supplements to help you lose weight, to help you maintain health or improve your health. And anytime I'm recommending specific supplements anyway, I recommend Perfect Keto. They're all high quality, whole food ingredient supplements. So if you're looking to get protein, let's say, because you're training while you're on keto, then the whey protein at Perfect Keto is a great option. If you're looking to improve gut health, maybe improve some of your skin or hair, then their collagen is also a really clean, good supplement. Some other options, I mean, electrolytes are something that I do recommend quite often if you're not putting enough salt into your meals. Especially if you're just starting out on keto, this can be great to prevent the keto flu. So these really are some good ones. If you're looking to accelerate weight loss, you may also want to jump into trying out some exogenous ketones or MCT oil. These can help to accelerate weight loss, but also will help to improve cognitive function and focus. So those really are the ones that I tend to recommend with Perfect Keto. So if you are interested in supplements, I mean, check it out. You can just go to perfectketo.com or listen to this episode first, because we're going to dive deep into all the different supplements, tell you kind of what supplements may work best for whatever it is that you're looking for. So it's a very informative and interesting conversation here in this podcast episode. But if you do decide to pick up some supplements, use the code Kyle15 and you'll get 15% off your entire order. So whatever supplements you want, they also have some good like keto bars in case you're on the go or traveling. I do like these. Check that out. Just, you know, perfectketo.com. Use the code Kyle15. Otherwise, enjoy this conversation with Chris and I. We're going to talk all about supplements and weight loss here. See you inside. All right, Chris, you're in?
Yeah, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. Just finishing up the work day and excited to talk some keto.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know what? So first of all, everyone who doesn't know who Chris is, he's a nutrition researcher and a science writer, and he works for Perfect Keto. You guys may have seen me talk a little bit about Perfect Keto in this group and on my own personal Facebook. Big fan of them. But Chris, first of all, what got you involved in keto? Where the where's the interest start?
Yeah, so I first got into keto. It would have been the year in between my undergraduate studies and my graduate school studies. I went to a conference, and this would have been in 2015. Keto was kind of just starting to get a little bit more popular, a little bit more mainstream. And I went to a conference where I got to hear Dr. Jeff Volek and Dr. DiAgostino talk, and had no idea who they were at the time. Now looking back, knowing that they're like, you know, the godfathers of and so I heard about them then, and then I went to school down in Tampa, the University of Tampa. And the university I went to was doing a little bit of keto research. So I started following the diet myself and then started studying the diet in athletic populations. So in a lot of like college kids, college athletes, and did that for about 4 to 5 months and then transitioned over to studying the diet in animal therapeutic models. So just looking at like exogenous ketones and, you know, cancer, Alzheimer's, different things like that. And then kind of transitioned once I graduated with my master's, I transitioned out into doing more like keto education, trying to spread the word more, and then ended up here at Perfect Keto.
That's awesome. That's super cool. So you weren't doing keto before you found this. Were you still interested in diet at the time, or was it keto that even got you interested in the whole health field?
When I was studying my undergraduate, it was a biology and exercise science degree. So I took a lot of nutrition courses at the time, but I was definitely a lot more into the sports performance and like physical therapy, strength training, stuff like that. And then, but I still had a little bit of passion for nutrition. I was following like a paleo diet at the time. And then after I graduated from undergrad, I actually kind of got into bodybuilding a little bit and started studying that, which kind of introduced nutrition to me. So I got really into nutrition that year before I had even heard about it, but definitely was not really up to date on like the low carb craze or anything like that. Hadn't really been introduced to it yet. I was kind of still under the assumption that you need carbohydrates for performance and you need them for muscle building and all this stuff. And now after seeing the new research and everything, not the new research, but I guess shedding the light on the research that was out there, kind of changed my thoughts and now a really big proponent of the diet.
Interesting. So the purpose of this podcast really is I want to pick your brain on supplements for weight loss specifically. You know, this is obviously what the Facebook group is that we're in right now. There's so many questions about supplements in here, but before we do, I'm super interested in the whole muscle building aspect as well and the athletic performance. So I just want to ask, you know, like you said, a lot of people thought that we needed the carbohydrates to perform at the highest level. What is it that you've learned after reviewing the research in regards to performance and sort of muscle building and that sort of athletic performance?
I think the biggest thing that I learned is that when you look at, you know, if you look at a lot of studies out there on sports performance and muscle building, body composition, a lot of them, the ones that show that ketogenic dieting or low carb dieting is not advantageous for these things. These are studies that are too short to really shed light on what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we take people who are following a high carbohydrate diet and we put them on a low carb diet and then we test their performance or we test their body composition a week later, as we know, it's pretty obvious that we're going to see some either decrements in performance or we're going to see some dips in maybe muscle mass based on, you know, some of like DEXA scans and what those numbers are spitting out. So that was kind of the biggest thing is knowing that, like, if you're looking at this research, you have to really consider study design, study length, which subjects are being used. And after I realized that, I started looking at the right studies and I started seeing that, you know, when you give the body time to adapt to this low carb diet, not only does it perform just fine under these conditions, it actually performs better in most cases. And, you know, not just from an endurance perspective, but even from a strength perspective and a muscle building perspective. You know, if you look at the, you know, basic physiology of the body, you see that you don't have to have carbohydrates to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. You don't have to be spiking insulin all the time for muscle growth. So I think it's just kind of getting a better understanding of how the body actually metabolizes nutrients and how it can use what it has to do what it needs to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're talking about those short-winded studies, it's the body needs time to get fat adapted. It needs time to get used to this lower carb intake. And so this is typically why we see these, you know, a decrease in performance or decrease whatever, but it's not forever. It's just until you figure it out, your body gets kind of used to it. And you know what, we see that just in anyone, not even performance wise, but those who are just trying to, you know, maybe lose weight. We see that you kind of maybe lose some energy. You hear a lot about the keto flu in the first, you know, week or two. You know, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just your body, again, trying to adapt and get used to the changes. Cause we've gone so long, most people anyway, with just eating carbs and a lot of them being sugar and processed carbs. So it is a wonderful thing, but you got to get through that keto flu if that's a thing for you. Although there's lots of ways to prevent it, and supplements may be a good way. Where do you see the application of supplements in the ketogenic diet, though?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing to remember, and this isn't necessarily specific to keto. I think it's true of any nutrition or any diet that you're following, but supplements are meant to be a supplement to a good diet. I think that the most powerful thing that you can do in terms of keto is actually follow a ketogenic diet that is formulated well for your goals and whatever your specific needs are. But from there's supplements that you can use to enhance that, whether that's improving your ability to exercise, improving your energy levels, you know, maximizing your cognitive function, trying to combat maybe some problem, like, you know, if you're somebody who has a very high sweat rate and you're somebody who just has a really hard time replenishing electrolytes naturally, you know, electrolyte supplements are something that you can take to combat that. So I think it's just supplements are something that you can use to fill those gaps, whether those are gaps that are occurring because there's certain foods that you don't like eating. So we can maybe fill those in with supplements, or maybe that's just because of the lifestyle that you live or the body type you have. You just require a little additional help. And I think, you know, another big thing with supplements is they can be, in the sense of a keto diet, you kind of touched on it a minute ago, they can kind of help ease your transition into a ketogenic diet. And for a lot of people who are coming from a diet that is high in processed carbohydrates, It could be a huge adjustment cutting those things out. And sometimes those people, they are able to follow the diet for a couple of days. They feel miserable. They fall off. And they never get to experience the benefits of ketosis. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things I think supplements could do is kind of help get you through some of those harder parts of the diet to make this diet a little bit more sustainable and easier to follow long term.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought up the point, even someone who's working for a supplement company, that, hey, diet is most important. You've got to start there. You've got to get that optimized first. That's my number one rule when it comes to supplements. So I do appreciate you saying that. Now, one of the most popular supplements in the keto world anyway, as of recent, is exogenous ketones, MCT oil as well, which isn't technically a ketone. Where do you see the benefit of this? What do they actually do? If you want to kind of explain it, because I think it's a bit of a confusing subject for some. So if you want to just explain it a little bit and then kind of talk about what they're meant for, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for those that don't know, exogenous ketones are basically just a supplemental version of what our body is producing naturally on a ketogenic diet. So what these are, you know, there's two different ways you can get exogenous ketones. You can get ketone esters, and you can get ketone salts. And I'm going to talk about ketone salts here because I think it's a little bit more applicable to the general audience, because ketone esters are a little bit more expensive. And I think that they're more for more specific situations like extreme athletes or people who are using it therapeutically. So ketone salts are basically these ketone molecules bound to different minerals like calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium. Those are the most popular four. And what happens when you take these in is that your body will break down the minerals, and it will lead to an increase in these, it will release these ketones into your blood, causing a short-term increase in ketones in your blood. And to, you know, most exogenous ketone companies out there, when they talk about exogenous ketones, they kind of say that this is the same thing as what your body's producing naturally, or they'll say that it's it's no different than natural ketosis. And that's not true. What's happening when you take exogenous ketones is you're giving your body a boost in ketones for a short period of time. And typically what we see is it's about 2 to 3 hours that you're going to see an increase in ketones available in your blood. And the reason why that's beneficial is because your brain, what we've seen in research is that your brain will actually take in ketones proportional to what's available in the blood. So when we look at the different fuels that your body can use, the primary fuels are glucose from carbohydrates, fat, and ketones. Now, your brain can't use fat. Your brain can only use glucose and ketones. So when we're not eating carbohydrates, obviously the main fuel source during this time is going to be ketones. And what's interesting on the difference between ketones and glucose is that your body will only, glucose will only be pulled into the brain based on energy demands. So you can have as much glucose as you want, but you're not going to be able to provide more energy to your brain by having more glucose. But ketones is actually the opposite, where ketones will be pushed into your brain based on their availability in the blood. So under conditions where you may benefit from having a little bit higher of a spike in ketones, or you may benefit from having your brain running on more energy, you can take exogenous ketones to give yourself that boost. So what that tells us is that some good times to take exogenous ketones would be whenever you are feeling a little bit brain foggy, which tends to be when you're starting a ketogenic diet, or maybe when you have like that 3 o'clock feel where you're trying to avoid caffeine because you don't want to mess with your sleep cycles, you can take exogenous ketones to give yourself energy then. Or maybe before a workout, you can take exogenous ketones to help give yourself some mental clarity so you can focus and feel energized for your workout. So those are kind of some of the general times that exogenous ketones can be good. But another time that I think they're especially beneficial, and maybe something that's not talked about enough, is when we start a ketogenic diet, and a lot of people who have done a keto diet probably have seen that they see an increase in their ketones. Probably within maybe a day or 2 days of starting the diet, you'll see an increase in your blood ketone levels. But for some reason, it takes 5 to 7, maybe 2 weeks before you are actually experiencing the benefits of ketosis. And the reason why this occurs is because, like you were mentioning earlier, we're not accustomed to using these ketones. So when we're producing them, our cells aren't used to taking them in because they require different transporters to get in. And that's kind of a complex topic that we don't necessarily have to get in here. But what we've seen in the research is that when we expose our cells to higher levels of ketones, we actually upregulate these transporters that are necessary to take these ketones in and use them. So I think that if you're somebody who is just, you know, starting a ketogenic diet and maybe you're experiencing that fatigue, brain fog, maybe some irritability, poor sleep, taking exogenous ketones can be this this opportunity to kind of bridge that gap until your body is really accustomed to producing and utilizing these ketones naturally.
Interesting. Now, you can increase the transporters for ketones through things like exercise as well, right? Like, we want to, I think an important thing to realize is when you're going into the ketogenic diet, whether it's for weight loss or something else, it's just, that's just diet. There's still other components of good health that you need to do, and they all sort of are interconnected. And so one thing I've read and seen anyway is that exercise can help improve the amount of, or sorry, increase the amount of transporters to improve uptake of ketones as well. I assume there's other areas like better sleep, managing stress, et cetera, play a role, but I haven't really read any of that. But I think it's important just to notice that there's other things that, that play a role as well.
Yeah, I think exercise is a really big one. And one of my favorite researchers, Dr. Stephen Kunane, who does a lot of research on Alzheimer's and different neurodegenerative diseases and ketones, he's actually published some studies in the recent years showing that even just exercise as simple as just walking can upregulate these MCT transporters, which are required for these for getting ketones in. Which what that tells us is that, you know, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. If you're somebody who you could be 200 pounds overweight and maybe don't think you have the ability to exercise, just as something as simple as getting out and walking can be beneficial for kind of jump-starting your progress and getting you going. And one of the things that I actually studied in grad school was looking at different types of exercises for our ability to produce and utilize ketones. And one of the things that we found is that high intensity interval training is actually a better way to not only stimulate ketone production, but help get people keto adapted a little bit quicker. So for people who don't know what that means, that's just high intensity interval training is where you're really pushing your body to the limit for a period of time, followed by a recovery period. And that type of exercise tends to be really intimidating to people, but a big thing to highlight there is that intensity is relative to you. So what's intense for you and I is going to be different for somebody else out there. But the biggest thing, like you said, is incorporating exercise alongside a healthy diet, I think, is just a real recipe for success.
Absolutely. Now, when we're talking exogenous ketones, so adding it to our diet, you mentioned the benefits where you may get keto adapted quicker, you may have better energy and things like that. Can you apply it to weight loss? Is there a use? Because one thing that people need to understand is that when you take exogenous ketones, it's a nutrient, just like a carbohydrate or a fat would be. So there is added calories, not that calories matter at all. But you know, you are feeding yourself a nutrient. So what's the application then of taking exogenous ketones for weight loss?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this is something that's often misrepresented by people who are taking exogenous ketones or people who are marketing exogenous ketones. And the truth is that exogenous ketones are not going to directly cause you to lose any weight. Like you said, they are an energy source. They do provide calories. What's going to happen when you take exogenous ketones is that your body may actually temporarily halt ketone production because you have enough in your body at the time. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily kicking you out of ketosis or anything like that. It just means that maybe you're not going to be optimizing fat burning in that given moment. But what's interesting is that there's actually a lot of long-term benefits that can come from having elevated ketone levels that can be conducive of better fat burning or more weight loss. So a couple of the things that we've seen, and this kind of goes pretty deep down the rabbit hole, but things like activating brown adipose tissue or improving mitochondrial biogenesis, which are things that can occur from taking exogenous ketones, those are things that can lead to long-term adaptations in the body that allow you to better metabolize fat and burn fat and, you know, lose weight. So if you hear anybody tell you that, like, hey, here's exogenous ketones, take these things, they're going to cause you to lose weight, I think that's a huge misrepresentation of what these things can do for you. And a better way to look at them is that they can support your energy levels and support you while you're on a weight loss diet. And I think that's a better way to be looking at them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that I've seen as well is that just the presence of ketones can decrease your hunger. So obviously that's a benefit when you're trying to lose weight. Now, of course, we want to achieve that just through diet. But if you're adding exogenous ketones, this may improve that a little bit more. Is there a concern at all about having too many exogenous ketones, you know, ketoacidosis, or is it fairly safe regardless of what you're doing?
You know, I think that for you to achieve, for you to consume, I'm trying to word this in a good way. You would have problems in the bathroom before you would be able to consume enough exogenous ketones to put yourself in a dangerous state. So anybody who's had maybe too much MCT oil at any point in their life and experienced what happens there, a very similar thing can happen with exogenous ketones. So that's not going to occur. And the biggest thing to realize too is that under conditions like ketoacidosis, it's not just having extremely high elevated ketone levels. It's also having elevated blood glucose in conjunction with that. And that's where a lot of that danger can occur. But your body is going to have regulatory systems, especially if you're somebody who is, if you're not diabetic or pre-diabetic, your body's going to have a regulatory process to shut down ketone production before it gets to too high of a level. But I do think that some people, there may be some people that overdo it with exogenous ketones because they have this idea that taking more of it is going to be better. But, you know, more is not always better, as we know, with especially with supplementation. You know, there does become a threshold where there's benefit to just letting your body do its own thing. So, you know, I think that if we're looking at what's the optimal use for exogenous ketones, I think that 1 to 2 times a day is more than enough for anybody out there. And I just don't think that there's a need to go higher than that.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the ketone levels in the blood. I mean, most people are, I see a lot of people anyway, measuring with the urine strips, which is not accurate in any way. But does it really matter what levels you're at? I mean, people always think more, as you said, but I'm talking, people think that it's better if your blood ketone levels are higher. Can you sort of touch on that subject and does that really matter?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the truth is that, you know, despite what a lot of people will tell you in a lot of articles that you may read on the internet, we really don't have a good gauge for what the optimal ketone level is. And the truth is that it's probably different for everybody. And one of the things that we see is that, you know, new ketogenic dieters, when they start, they tend to see a pretty big increase in their ketones. And we see that level get pretty high over time. But what we see is that when we follow the diet for 3, 6, 9 months, those ketone levels start to go down. And what's happening here is that your body's becoming more efficient at utilizing ketones, and you're not going to be producing more than what your body is going to need. So, you know, you may be at 2.5 millimolars when you first start a ketogenic diet, and a year in, you might be down at 0.7. And what really matters is your body functioning the way that it should be? Are you experiencing the benefits of ketosis? We don't have a great way to measure this yet. Until we're able to actually measure our cells' uptake of ketones, we're not going to be able to determine what an optimal level of ketones is. And so to your point, no, having a higher level of ketones isn't beneficial all of the time. But I think that there are certain times when it is. And kind of like we were talking earlier, I think those are the times when taking exogenous ketones are beneficial. You know, you're going to have those, you know, for me, it's like 3 o'clock from 6 o'clock. I'm trying to push it and get a couple extra hours of work in the day. Taking exogenous ketones and getting that bump is going to be beneficial, but I don't need to be at that higher level of ketones all day. That's just not something that's been proven by science anywhere. So a lot of people, I think, spend too much time kind of being panicking and freaking out about making sure their ketone levels are high enough. And I think a better way to look at it is that we really don't understand these readings that well. And if you really want to know if you're in ketosis and you're at an optimal level, you should really look towards the signs of ketosis and being keto adapted. And that's going to be a better marker of how well you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you feel? That's more important than anything. How are you feeling? that's like the number one thing. Just guys, everyone's always worried about the numbers and the scale's not going down or this and that. It's like, how do you feel? If you feel good, then things are happening good for you. Just go by that.
Clients in the past, I used to do a lot more training with people, and I would have a lot of clients that would come and they'd be really stressed out and freaking out about, hey, my ketone levels are only 0.5, 0.6, 0.7. And it was like, my carbohydrates are at 20 grams. I'm doing all these things right. What's going on? And every time I just be like, all right, calm down. Are you experiencing this, 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 and this?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, yes. So it's like, okay, well then there's no need to freak out. That's a clear sign that you're in ketosis, because you know, as we know, if you're not eating carbohydrates, your body doesn't have a good fuel source to rely on. So if you're not producing ketones and utilizing them, you're going to know it because you're going to be dragging butt. So if you're not experiencing that, then things are going well for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, can you differentiate between MCT oil and exogenous ketones? I think the marketing of the supplement industry is insane as it is, but you know, ketones itself, there's a lot of network marketing companies and things like that that have gotten involved in this area.
So there's a lot of confusion here, but MCT oil, not actually a ketone. Can you kind of explain what it is and what's up there?
Yeah, so the biggest difference is that exogenous ketones, when you take it, they're going to just release ketones into your blood, whereas MCTs are going to be converted to ketones in the body. So MCT stands for medium chain triglyceride, and basically what that means is that most of the fats that you eat in any of the fatty foods that you're having are longer chain triglycerides, which basically just means that they contain, from a molecular standpoint, they contain more carbon molecules. And the more carbon molecules you have, the longer it takes for that fat to be digested. So a medium chain triglyceride, which there's four different types that fall into this range, and they're kind of denoted as C6 to C12. These, because of their shorter chain length, they actually are digested differently by the body. So most fats, when we eat them, they have to be packaged into these molecules known as chylomicrons, that they travel throughout our bloodstream and they get dumped off into our different cells to be used for energy. Well, MCTs completely bypass this and they just go straight to the liver. And as most of you probably know, the liver is where ketones are produced. And because of their shorter chain length, they can be very rapidly converted into ketones in the liver. And then because our liver cannot use ketones for energy, the liver will expel to keep those ketones out into your bloodstream, causing an increase in your blood ketones. Now, the increase that you're going to see from MCTs are going to be, it's going to be a lot smaller than what you're going to see with exogenous ketones. Typically, depending if you're taking like a serving, it's going to depend on like your size and everything, but you might see anywhere from like a 0.2 to like a 0.4, 0.5 millimolar increase in your blood ketones from MCTs. That depends on how much you can stomach also, because as you know, as we were talking earlier, that can be a complication for some people. But yeah, you know, to put it in simplest terms, the biggest difference is that MCT oil is being converted to ketones naturally. And it's actually, interestingly enough, it's the only fat that you can eat that is going to be converted into ketones. I think that's a common misconception that people think, is that if you eat more fat, that you, that fat is converted to ketones. The only fat that can be converted to ketones in your body is your stored body fat that is broken down, and MCTs.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that time either. Yeah. Because of the way that the fat that we eat gets packaged and where it goes, yeah, a very small percentage of that fat ever makes it to our liver to be converted to ketones.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we've clarified MCT, we've clarified exogenous ketones. In the realm of weight loss, are there any other useful supplements that you see that are relevant to weight loss?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's tough because I'm really not a huge fan of weight loss supplements. I really don't think that there's anything out there that is a better, that's a replacement for a diet, and especially the keto diet, because the keto diet is without a doubt the best diet for weight loss. There's really no arguing that. So it's really hard for me to tell somebody that's already following a ketogenic diet that there's any supplement they can take that's better than that. But there is some interesting research out there on some things like, and it's really conflicting research too on how good these things are. But things like L-carnitine, the bioavailability question of that is still, you know, not something that we know very well. But there's some things like that that may be able to increase fat mobilization or improve our ability, our body's ability to metabolize fat. But at the end of the day, I think the most important additional supplements that you could take would be anything that supports your gut health, because I think that's a big reason why people aren't losing weight. And not the most popular answer when you're talking about keto weight loss, or I'm sorry, weight loss supplements, because most people are looking for a pill that's just something very simple that, hey, I take this, I'm going to lose weight. And that's just not the case. But if you're on a keto diet and you're not experiencing weight loss, then there's probably something else going on, and it's probably impaired gut health. And things like pro and prebiotics, which some difficulty in the research on that stuff too, but I think that there's some validity to taking some of that stuff to restore your gut function and allow your body to better metabolize the food you're eating and maybe experience some more weight loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. I love that answer, because that's same with me. When I recommend any supplements, it has nothing to do with weight loss. I don't ever give a fat burning pill or any of that. It's what supplements can make you healthier. And if you are healthier, then your body's going to function better, which means you're likely going to burn fat faster. So my thing is all about just what can we do to help you get healthier? And if that's maybe you need some vitamin D, or you need some, you know, whatever it is, depending on your lifestyle factors, then that to me is what's important. It's not about taking some sort of random supplement that's going to speed up your metabolism. If you want to do that, go hit the gym, build some muscle.
Sure. I think that's the biggest thing to the way to look at it is like we talked earlier, supplements are meant to support your diet. And if you are following there, you know, there's different diets you can follow for weight loss. Right now we're talking about keto. If you're trying to plan your supplements, you should be planning supplements that are going to be supporting that diet to allow you to stay on it so you can experience that weight loss. And I think that's probably a better way to look at it. And I think one supplement I would say that I left out there that I think could be beneficial for some people would be insulin sensitizing products. So anything that helps lower your blood glucose or improve your insulin sensitivity, which the ketogenic diet does naturally. But if you are somebody who you are maybe, you know, pretty overweight, you are very insulin resistant, you've been following a high carbohydrate diet for a long time, it may take your body longer to adapt to a ketogenic diet. It may take your body longer to get those low insulin levels, which is going to be required for you to start burning more fat. So for people like that, there could be some validity to taking some of these things like berberine is the real popular one out there that can kind of help improve our insulin sensitivity. There can be some validity to taking that in the short term while you're trying to maybe push your body to getting adapted a little bit quicker. But outside of that, I really think that, like you're saying, the most important thing is to choose supplements that are going to allow you to stay on the diet. And rather than trying to find a pill that's going to be a one cure for, you know, causing you to lose weight.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. How do those supplements work? I haven't really used or recommended those. Can you sort of talk a little bit further about those?
Yeah, so there's a couple different mechanisms. A couple of them are through improving like our cells' ability to metabolize nutrients. Some of them are just like glucose disposal agents, so they'll just, you know, help get glucose into our cells more so that, you know, as we know, if you metabolize that glucose and you get your blood glucose lower, then your insulin levels are going to go down and that's going to cause you to burn more fat. That's kind of a requirement for us when we have elevated insulin levels that directly impairs fat burning. Mm-hmm. So what these supplements can do is they can help drive more glucose into the cell so that we can help lower those insulin levels. And that's, you know, to be honest, that's probably the extent of my knowledge on those products, not something that I've studied too extensively. But you know, like I said, if you're getting your blood glucose levels down and the insulin's lowering, then you're going to be burning more fat.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Now, what made you, I want to kind of shift gears and talk a little bit just about the supplement industry in general. What made you go, with Perfect Keto? And then can you kind of share a little bit about, you know, that, and then, you know, about just the supplement industry in general? Because I think if we're going to talk supplements, I don't want a bunch of people to go away and start, you know, just buying random supplements. We need to, you know, understand what we're purchasing here.
Yeah, for sure. So when I first started studying keto, like we talked about at the beginning of this podcast, there wasn't really any keto companies on the market yet. One of the first ones that kind of came in was Prove-It. And they came in, and I was not a big fan of the way that they were marketing themselves. They were marketing themselves as a replacement to the ketogenic diet. They had an exogenous ketone product that they were saying you could just take this and you'd be in ketosis and you didn't have to follow a diet. And I really was not a fan of that because I knew that that wasn't true. So initially, I was very turned off to a lot of these companies that I felt like were just coming in and trying to make a dollar off of this keto movement, which we see every day more and more companies coming in trying to do that. And then I saw Perfect Keto come to the market, and they first released their exogenous ketone base. And I, at the time, I had been taking exogenous ketone salts, just like raw salts mixed with like Mio, and it was horrible tasting. It was like so hard to get them down, but I did it because of the benefits. And they actually had the first exogenous ketone product I ever had taken that tasted good. And I was like, man, this is great. I can actually stomach this. This is going to be huge for people who, you know, knowing the benefits of taking this product, this is going to be huge because people aren't going to take something they don't enjoy the taste of. Mm-hmm. So I actually had started taking the exogenous ketones for about 2 years prior to working. I think it was about 2 years prior to working for the company. And as they started releasing more and more products, I started just seeing how focused the company was on high quality ingredients, not putting fillers in their products. The extensive testing that they were putting into each product. And that really got me intrigued in the company. And then getting to know Dr. Gustin, who is one of the founders of the company, and seeing what his just his expectations for products and how much testing he puts into everything. I mean, last year we released the keto bars, which is one of our collagen bars. And, you know, he tested, I think, like, I forget what the number was, like 10 or 11 different renditions of this product. And none of the retesting, the reformulation had to do with taste. It was all about trying to make this product not spike blood sugar so that it would be something that could be used on a ketogenic diet. And that's just not something that you see in a lot of companies. You know, a lot of companies, it's about trying to move fast, come out with a product that people are going to think tastes good, doesn't matter about the ingredients, just try to make some money. And this was the first time that I had come across a company that didn't have goals like that. And the goals were more about helping people. So for me, it was just, you know, I never thought I would work for a supplement company, but then coming to and finding a company that's focused on education and formulating products correctly, it was just an easy decision.
Yeah, absolutely. It blows my mind the things that supplement companies will put in their supplements, even keto companies putting in sugar in their supplements. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. It's the wild, wild west out there. This is what I tell a lot of my clients. So, you know, if you're buying your supplements at, I don't know, Costco or something, it's probably not a good idea. You've got to really be careful. And I agree, Perfect Keto is one of the ones that, you know, I've looked into and have just found that they take pride in their supplements and it's really good quality ingredients. And there's just no added ingredients for no reason. Everything that's in there is there for a purpose. And that's really it. There's no fluff. And I think that's really important when you're looking for a supplement.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it kind of goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, that stance that I have that, you know, the most important thing you can do is follow the diet first. That's a company-wide stance here. That's something that everybody believes. And that's why when we formulate our products too, we try to always consider whole foods as the most important thing. You know, we don't want to include a lot of artificial things. We want to include stuff that comes from, you know, real food, real sources. And I think that that's, you know, it's a hard thing to do. And that's why we see so many companies that do end up putting fillers in or added sugars and stuff, because to try to make something that, like a food product that mimics something that has carbohydrates in it, it's very hard to do that when you take carbohydrates out. I mean, you look at bars, especially a lot of these other, whether they're low carb or paleo friendly products are out there that and maybe have really good protein bars and stuff, or like RX bars, stuff like that. They have like dates or other, you know, carbohydrate sources that they can use, different flours, stuff like that, that they can use to achieve a certain texture. And it's really hard to do that when you remove those things. And I think a lot of companies aren't willing to spend the time and money to test and test and test to find different alternatives for these things that are actually healthy and not going to, you know, lead to poor health. And I think that's just that's a huge testament to Dr. Gustin and his, you know, his want to make sure that he's able to make keto easier and more accessible to more people.
Absolutely. And by the way, for any listeners out there on the podcast or live in, you can just go to perfectketo.com and you'll be at perfectketoshop.com, or is it perfectketo.com? I think it's perfectketo.
Yeah. Keto.com, yeah.
Yeah, and if you use the code Kyle15, you also get 15% off, so we're winning today. Chris, I've just got a couple final questions here to throw at you as we finish up. First of all, if people want to learn more from you and the information that you're sharing, where can they find you on the interwebs? What do they need to do?
So I have a website that's called theketologist.com. So that's theketologist. And then you can also find me on Instagram as the ketologist. I have a Facebook page that's also the ketologist, but it's not as active. Instagram is the one where if you have any questions, you can shoot me a DM and I'm pretty quick to respond on there. So those would be the best ways to find more on me.
Awesome. And I'll make sure if you're listening to the podcast to share the links to those in the notes so you can just click on them and you can find them immediately. All right. My final question for you is this something that I ask all my guests that come on the show here. And this is outside of just supplements, just talking health in general. I don't know when you started your health journey, but it sounds like you've been interested in this space for a long time. Let's say you were to go back to the very beginning of when you first started that journey. And you kind of forgot everything that you currently know now, all the knowledge that you've gained, all the experience that you had. What would be the one piece of advice you would want to tell yourself if you were just starting out?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think a big one for me would be focusing on food quality over food quantity. Mm-hmm. I was a big macronutrient tracker when I first started. I thought that was the most important thing. And that led to a lot of things. It led to not focusing on food quality. So just trying to hit macronutrients, and whether that was filling my diet with a bunch of crap or not, it didn't matter. And it also led to a bad relationship with food because it was a very restrictive way to look at it. And I think it really got me burnt out on nutrition for a little while. So I think if I could go back, I would just tell myself that, hey, here's the foods that you should be putting in your body. Focus on eating these and let everything else take care of itself. And you'll be a lot less stressed and in a lot better shape and health and everything.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely agree. Is that an Oura Ring you have on your hand there?
This is actually just a wedding ring, but I do have it. At night, I actually this out for an Oura Ring.
Okay. That's hilarious. It's funny. I always see people and I always ask them if it's an Oura Ring. A lot, like half the time it's an Oura Ring, the other half it's a wedding band. I'm like, ah, well, all right, whatever.
Yeah, usually when I got married about a year ago, I told my wife that I was just going to opt for wearing an Oura Ring all the time. She was like, well, I think we should go with a wedding ring and then you can just sometimes. So it's I try to keep it balanced.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much for joining me on here. I really appreciate the information that you're sharing and kind of what you're doing and putting out there. You know, I think keto is absolutely amazing. And I think a lot of people in this group and listening to this podcast can understand that. And it's always great to be able to optimize through, you know, people's knowledge like yourself. So again, thank you so much for joining and sharing this information.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. I had a blast.
All right. Take care.
That's a wrap, folks. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, you could do me a wonderful favor by taking a screenshot and sharing it with your friends on social media. Feel free to tag me at healthsimple_ and let me know your thoughts. And if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a DM as well. I would love to hear from you. I hope you guys all have a wonderful day.